This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Comprehensive and quick. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, October 2nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump indicates what he wants from the FBI investigation of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. A confirmation vote could be held at the end of the week.
Investors and businesses are responding favorably to the new North American trade agreement.
Events in Las Vegas mark the one-year anniversary since a deadly mass shooting at a music festival.
And the reason you're in debt could be as simple as the bill in front of your face. Just ask a personal finance question on Reddit.
One thing that didn't seem clear to him was the fact that he was buying groceries, you know, kind of just as he needed them, not really thinking, you know, more strategically about buying what was on sale. His food costs were, you know, kind of much higher than you'd expect.
Market Watch reporter Jacob Passy on what happens when others get to scrutinize your finances. He's here in about 20 minutes. Republicans say they won't limit who the FBI could question as part of its investigation into sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. That said, they plan to begin floor votes this week on his confirmation. Meanwhile, Republicans are pushing back against criticism that they were rushing through a probe and also say they have not told the FBI which individuals to question. Connecticut Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal.
These limits threaten the credibility of our entire judicial system, as well as the decision we are to make this week.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell doesn't expect Democrats will listen to the FBI report if it conflicts with their political mission.
If you listen carefully, Mr. President, you can practically hear the sounds of the Democrats moving the goalposts.
The Wall Street Journal says the FBI has already begun talking to several witnesses. Judge Kavanaugh has denied the allegations. President Trump says he wants the FBI to conduct a comprehensive investigation into the sexual assault allegations against Judge Kavanaugh, but also said the probe should have limits and be done quickly. That's the takeaway from remarks yesterday. Here's Wall Street Journal Congress reporter Natalie Andrews. Natalie, what does he want?
He wants the FBI's probe to be comprehensive. He also, though, caveated that by saying he doesn't want it to be a witch hunt, which is the words that Donald Trump uses quite a bit to describe the investigations into Russia and election interference. But so somewhere in between comprehensive and a witch hunt is what President would like for his Supreme Court nominee. And we're hearing that Congress has given some direction, but not say, but they're also maybe in between there. We're currently looking into what exactly the parameters are that the FBI was given.
Because I think you hinted at it in the story that basically nobody has really taken ownership yet of the parameters. Is that right?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of finger pointing. So the Senate is saying the White House has the purview. The White House is saying they instructed the investigation based on what the Senate wanted, and the FBI is pointing at the agencies above them in the White House and the Senate. So we're really trying to understand what the scope was here.
Okay, but all in all, this is not going to be an FBI criminal investigation. This is going to be like an FBI background check type of investigation? Because they're wildly different things, right?
Yes, and not an official background check. That's already been done, but this is more like a probe into these allegations. And we're still learning what that entails, how many people they're going to actually reach out to and interview. For example, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, who was the center of the hearing on Thursday, has not heard from the FBI. And so we're still waiting to see, will they reach out to her? Will they use the Thursday testimony or the letters that she's provided to the committee? We also don't know if they'll be talking to Judge Kavanaugh about these allegations. Those two seem like top people the FBI should talk to, but they could use previous statements. The FBI is not expected to draw a conclusion, so that's one thing. We do know that they have reached out to friends of Brett Kavanaugh, who Dr. Ford alleges were there of the night of the incident, and we do know they've talked to those people.
We speak with Natalie Andrews, Wall Street Journal Congress reporter. She's written a piece entitled, Trump Wants Kavanaugh Probe to Be Comprehensive and Done Quickly. Did the president give the sense that he feels Democrats just won't be satisfied here? They'll argue something about this probe isn't right just because they want to dismiss Kavanaugh?
Yes, Republicans are accusing Democrats of moving the goalpost. Is what they keep saying. It's like, oh, we gave you an FBI investigation. Now you're saying the FBI investigation wasn't adequate already before you even have it. So they are accusing Democrats of moving the goalposts. Democrats say, well, what they want is an inquiry that looks at whether or not the allegations could be true, and that should entail interviewing more people. Senator Blumenthal put out a long, lengthy list of everyone he thought that the FBI should be talking to, and it's much deeper than the FBI is expected to go.
Wow. When will we learn the parameters, or will we publicly learn the parameters?
Well, Mitch McConnell wants to vote on this nominee this week, and so we would expect that. I think Senator Cornyn said that generally in something like this, the FBI would prepare some sort of summary or some sort of thing, document, and give that to the senator so they would be able to understand what the FBI found or what their line of inquiry was. And we'd expect that, based on Jeff Flake not wanting to vote until an investigation was done, we'd expect that to come before the final confirmation vote. What we don't know is if Mitch McConnell will move to do procedural votes before the final vote and before there's an investigation. Okay. Well, we know he'll do procedural votes before the final vote. We don't know if he'll do it before the investigation is concluded.
So what we might get from the FBI is, okay, here's what we've found based on our line of questioning. The FBI won't come out and say, we believe this person and not this person, for example. That's not what
they do. Yeah, they won't draw like some finite conclusion, like some, like, this is what we think happened.
Thanks, Natalie. Natalie Andrews, Wall Street Journal Congress reporter. Changing gears here, investors like the sounds of the new North American Trade Pact lifting the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500. Uncertainty about trade has been a worry of businesses and investors for months after President Trump began advancing an agenda that included a new NAFTA, tariffs on U.S. metals imports, and a rewrite of U.S. economic ties with China. The new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, which will replace NAFTA, alleviated some of those concerns. Mr. Trump said, among other things, it requires that duty-free cars produced in North America have at least 75% of their content produced in the region and 40% of their content produced by $16-an-hour labor.
I don't want to see our companies leave and fire our workers, and our workers never get jobs to replace those jobs. Those days are over.
The provisions could lead to more auto production and jobs in the U.S. and Canada. The North American Pact allows Mr. Trump to turn now his attention to China, where trade disagreements with Beijing are tense. It's 14 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. No one compliments you when their paycheck is correct, but make one mistake and you risk alienating your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. In the wake of a 7.5 magnitude earthquake and a 20-foot tsunami on Friday that killed more than 1,200 now, the eastern Indonesian city of Palu is still in shock. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Hungry residents are begging for aid. Armed men are rummaging through stores, and prisoners are roaming freely. Palu, a city of about 380,000, was overwhelmed with identifying the dead and searching for survivors, some still trapped under a collapsed hotel and a shopping center. The New York Times says rescue efforts are slowed by a lack of heavy equipment, and police were busy dealing with looters, like some who attacked an ATM machine with pickaxes. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The Times says the death toll was magnified by the failure of a series of early warning systems, a network of 22 buoys that is supposed to monitor for movement on Indonesian open water has not been operational since 2012. 20 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in the White House has given the FBI clearance to interview anyone it wants to by Friday in its investigation of sexual misconduct allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. President Trump's new guidance was issued in response to Democratic and news media pushback that the scope of the probe was too narrow.
I want it to be comprehensive. I actually think it's a good thing for Judge Kavanaugh. I think it's actually a good thing, not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. Now, with that being said, I'd like it to go quickly.
Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says the investigation must be thorough.
I can't answer about whether it will make a difference. All I've said, and I hope most people agree, keep the politicians out of it. Give the FBI the charges that have been made in three specific instances and let them investigate. Let them decide which witnesses and what evidence need to be collected.
The FBI has questioned in recent days at least four people. White House officials are betting that concluding a trade deal with Mexico and Canada will give them more ammunition in their high-stakes battle with China on economic issues and national security. Trump administration officials say a renegotiated NAFTA removes the possibility that a trade war could break out on the continent and will make North America a more attractive place for investment. They say when combined with U.S. tariffs against China, which boosts the cost of production there, foreign companies will start moving investment out of China. Just 2 days after being viciously attacked by a shark off a San Diego beach, a 13-year-old boy is already making plans to get back in the ocean. The mother of Keen Weber Hayes says her son is slowly recovering from serious bite wounds to his upper back, arm, shoulder, and face.
It is a miracle, and I think Keen is a miracle, and I think that he's very, very, very strong. And he's a survivor now.
The boy was swimming at Beacons Beach and looking for lobsters when he was attacked on Saturday. He was rushed to shore by lifeguards and Good Samaritans and eventually airlifted to a local hospital.
What is it with the beach people? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they're back in the water.
Surfers. How do they do that every day? I don't know.
I mean, some of these shark bite survivors, back in the water.
13, too.
Right. Right. You think who will be impacted emotionally forever, right? No, back in the water. Good for him. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. More Americans appear to be spending beyond their means. And as one Reddit user discovered, living that way for too long can make it difficult to get back on track. Here's MarketWatch reporter Jacob Passy. Jacob, what did he learn?
One thing that didn't seem clear to him was the fact that he was buying groceries, you know, kind of just as he needed them, not really thinking, you know, more strategically about buying what was on sale, things like that. You know, he made a comment in response to someone else talking about how, you know, he usually just, you know, came up with the recipe he wanted to make that night and just got the ingredients for that recipe. But that's one way of, you know, spending that, and his food costs were, you know, kind of much higher than you'd expect. And another way that his financial problems were kind of in plain sight were the expenses related to his car. You know, he was paying a lot in terms of car payments, had bought a car fairly recently, and had, you know, kind of steep loan payments on that, and then in high insurance payments, et cetera. And so, you know, it was kind of clear that there were these two areas where he was spending more than he should that were causing him to find himself in this hole.
What was the suggestion or advice regarding the cars? Because he seemed to be in a tough spot. Didn't he now owe more than the car was worth, one of those deals?
Yeah, and that you know, that can be pretty common. You know, car has to depreciate in value over time, and so, you know, if you don't get you know, favorable loan terms, you can quickly find yourself in a situation where you owe more on the car than it's worth, and that's exactly the position he was in. And, you know, added to that was the fact that he said, you know, he didn't have a good credit history, and so it'd be hard for him to, you know, renegotiate or refinance into a different loan. And so, you know, some of the advice was, you know, finding ways to make the car, you know, become an income generator, either by driving for Uber or Lyft. There are also companies out there that you can sign up, and they will basically put Kling ads onto the sides of your car, and they'll pay you a monthly fee to basically do advertising for them. So that was another way of, you know, kind of helping to offset the costs related to the car. Other suggestions, though, you know, just because the loan payments were set, you know, people talked about, you know, you know, driving that extra mile or two to find the cheapest gas, signing up for a Costco membership or some other, you know, warehouse club membership where you might get cheaper gas through that. And also, you know, looking into a better deal on car insurance, whether, you know, finding just a new outright auto insurer or, you know, trying to bundle it with renter or home insurance and getting a deal that way.
Did it end well? Did he say, like, thanks for the advice? Or, like, how do these things end up?
You know, to my knowledge, he hasn't posted a follow-up yet, but okay. But I think a lot of people, you know, I think the advice, especially when it came to, you know, cutting coupons and strategies of doing that definitely helped him. And I think some of it was just, you know, kind of, you know, it's good to be open about your finances with people when you're in these types of situations. You know, at the very least, he seemed to be reassured that, you know, in the long term, you know, he's in school, he's, you know, about to graduate, okay. Things like that. You know, he's on the path to success. It's just a matter of, you know, getting there.
Thanks, Jacob. It's MarketWatch personal finance reporter Jacob Passy, who's based in New York. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You've heard me talk about Beachbody On Demand for a while now. Have you gotten your free trial yet? With an Insanity workout, for example, I love the fact that you can do it all from your home. No additional equipment needed. That makes it extremely convenient. And you can even do it when you're on the road. Over 700 workouts. For all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding and weight training to cardio and yoga, even dance workouts. Also, success doesn't just happen in the gym, right? So Beachbody On Demand has tools to help make eating right easier. Dozens of easy-to-follow meal plans and hundreds of delicious recipes. My listeners can try Beachbody On Demand right now, absolutely free. What are you waiting for? Join the over 1 million people currently on Beachbody On Demand. Right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text the word GORDON to 303030. You get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text the word GORDON, G-O-R-D-O-N, to 303030.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday, October 2nd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Republicans hope to hold a confirmation vote on Kavanaugh this week. More than 1,200 dead now following the earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia. Flooding and landslide concerns in the west from Tropical Storm Rosa. Cubs and Rockies in the National League wild card game tonight. Chiefs beat the Broncos in Monday Night Football. 1 year after his death, new Tom Petty material being released, and the pizza delivery guy who helped stop an assault and kidnapping. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. During Dell's annual sale, Dell Small Business is offering up to 40% off select PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Farmers and agribusiness welcome the agreement on a new North American trade pact, easing fears that the Trump administration's tough negotiating strategy could deepen economic struggles in the U.S. heartland. Agreement late Sunday between the U.S. and Canada is expected to preserve tens of billions of dollars in farm goods traded annually across the country's borders. The new three-nation trade deal, called the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, should also prompt each country to remove tariffs on each other's products that have hurt U.S. prices for pork, cheese, and other foodstuffs. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Bungie in Chicago. Jacob, what are you hearing?
You got to remember that there's still a real tense situation going on with China, which is as big a market as Mexico and Canada nearly in terms of agricultural exports. Definitely a big buyer of soybeans, which has been kind of the root of a lot of the headache in the heartland here this year since China put on those tariffs a couple of months back. So this goes a long ways towards, like we said, remove some of the big question mark around the North American market, and that is very important, you know, just the proximity. So much in the way of agricultural goods be exported directly across those borders, in particular, you know, meat products and so on. But there's still a lot of question marks out there for the rest of the globe. I mean, Europe is another one they've been working on. And, you know, China obviously is going to need to be resolved. And for the time being, it looks like it's getting more tense and not less so.
Well, we're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Bungie. He's written a piece entitled U.S. Farmers Welcome New North American Trade Pact. From a food safety standpoint, what's new on that front?
Well, what you've got here is not a massive change in the way that this is done, but they've modernized some of the language and tried to standardize some of the practices across the three different markets. And as you can imagine, this is a sensitive topic. People not just wanting to have confidence in their own country's food safety assessments, but also, you know, wanting the utmost certainty that the practices in Mexico and in Canada are going to be up to snuff in the U.S. And by and large, the U.S. Has taken the view that these things are reliable in the other countries. It depends on the product, and there's a range of things. But, you know, the last time this language was really updated was something, you know, 23 years ago, and so there's been a lot of advancements in that time, as you can imagine. The food industry here in the U.S. in particular has taken on a bigger role policing some of these things, which is, you know, its own debate, but this is why one of the key things that they worked out here had to do with the food safety front.
I think there was somebody in your story said something along the lines that there seems to be momentum right now for the American farmer on the trade front. Is that a widely held belief?
Well, I think it depends who you ask. Okay. And probably how their bank account is looking right now, you know, depending on what type of crop or livestock they produce and how much they've been hit by lower prices. But the comment about momentum came from a place where, you know, the farmers and the farm sector, this goes for the agricultural companies too, they've been watching really about a year's worth of headlines where things have been going in a direction where there is more question in terms of the U.S. and its relationship with its major trading partners, you know, Mexico, Canada, the EU, China, and so on. And so the reference to momentum, there was a trade deal, an updated thing that President Trump had signed last week with South Korea, which is a significant market in Asia for U.S. agricultural and food exports. And the announcements with Mexico came before that, a few weeks' time, and now with Canada looking like they're going to shore up the NAFTA or the NAFTA that was and move forward with something. And so that's the reference to momentum has been after, you know, quite a few months here of uncertainty where this all is going. They're seeing some resolution to some of these things.
Thanks, Jacob. Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Bungie from Chicago. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, in a world where we start to get antsy when our online orders don't arrive in 2 days, this would certainly test our patience. A Florida woman who ordered a set of Dr. Seuss books for her granddaughter said the package finally arrived 20 years later. Vera Walker of Orlando said her granddaughter was only 4 years old when she ordered the set of books in 1998. The delivery then took so long that her granddaughter was an adult with a five-year-old son of her own by the time the package arrived at Walker's home. The post office explained to Walker that the box had been found stuck inside an old mailbox. Walker said the books arrived just in time for her to read them to her great-grandson.
That's unbelievable.
Now, the good thing is, these are Dr. Seuss books, so they're timeless, right?
Very good.
These are not going to age or date. We're going to be reading Dr. Seuss books, you know, 200 years from now, probably.
So, I mean, could this have been accomplished legitimately by a turtle?
Right? Like, could a turtle have made it in 20 years from wherever this was shipped from to her house?
So if you know, she was in Florida at the time she ordered it,
yes.
You know, would that have been the case?
Yes, I would say that is possible. We should definitely do some calculations on that. We'll find out the average land speed of a turtle,
right.
and I bet you that could work out.
And to, I mean, to a turtle, that's nothing. These things live hundreds of years sometimes.
Right. Exactly.
This would be timely in a turtle's world. 20 years is nothing.
This could be a new shipping method for Amazon if you want to save some money, right?
You don't want to
pay for the shipping. You turtle speed, right? And, you know, the turtle doesn't have a problem. Like you said, they live 100 years. So they could, 20 years is no problem.
Or how about that just creates an instant antique?
Right.
Because it's going to be 20 years old by the time you receive it. It's already an antique if you go to turtleshipping.com or whatever the turtles make them up with.
Instant vintage. And, you know, Gordon, they say that you have to spend money to make money, and that especially goes for when you're betting on Alabama football. According to ESPN, one person chose to bet on the Crimson Tide to win against Louisiana Lafayette on Saturday, which sounds like easy money. The problem is Alabama was such a heavy favorite to win the game that the person had to put down $1,600 just to walk away with $1.60 in profit.
Wow.
So the question now becomes, why would someone do this? Why take the risk, even if it's a very, very small risk that you could lose a big chunk of money just to pocket less than $2? Here's hoping the gambler had some fun with their winnings, perhaps taking a ride through the drive-thru and splurging on one of their favorite fast food items.
Yeah. Wow. $1,600?
Yes.
You got to lay down
right
to win $1.60.
Yes, this was just to win the game. There was no point spread involved here.
Oh, okay.
There was because they were Alabama was a 49-point favorite in this game. No point spread, just to win the game. $1,600 to win $1.60.
Man. Do you sports bet? I mean, it's legal now in New Jersey.
I don't, although we're being inundated here in New Jersey with commercials for it now that it's legal. I haven't done it yet. I haven't pulled the trigger, but perhaps by the end of the season I will.
I'm just too cheap.
Yes.
And have zero faith in my ability to correctly pick something, especially when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
Just, you never know.
I get all excited. I do it once. I lose a couple of dollars, and I probably never do it again.
You think you know, right? You stay current. You read everything online, ESPN-ish or Fox Sports or whatever, and then I would just tank if I placed a bet. It's just guaranteed. Bet opposite whatever I would bet. Then you're guaranteed to win. That's how it would work.
Miserable enough watching our teams lose as it is, right?
13 minutes now in front of the hour. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Glad you could be with us. A new study finds that the amount a teenager sleeps is associated with how likely they are to engage in risky and suicidal behavior. Story on CNN.com. The researchers in the journal JAMA Pediatrics say fewer hours of sleep on an average school night is associated with increased odds of all unsafe behaviors, including risk-taking while driving, such as drunken driving, potentially unsafe sexual activity, aggressive behavior, and use of alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. Participants' sleep duration was categorized as 8 hours or more, 7 hours, 6 hours, or less than six, and then measured against high-risk behaviors. The study was released yesterday. Researchers found the strongest associations in relation to mood and self-harm. Teens who slept for less than 6 hours per night were three times more likely to report considering suicide, planning a suicide attempt, or attempting suicide, compared with teens who slept 8 hours or more. They were also four times more likely to have reported a suicide attempt that resulted in them needing treatment. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
14 days after being ordered to look into sexual misconduct allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, the FBI has talked with his high school friend Mark Judge, but the interview is not complete. Meanwhile, in an interview on NBC, Julie Swetnick claims she saw Kavanaugh behave inappropriately at parties in the 1980s.
I saw him go up to girls and paw on them, try to, you know, get a little too handsy, touching them in private parts.
Kavanaugh has said he does not know Swetnick and has called her claims a farce. Yesterday, President Trump said the FBI would have free rein to interview any witnesses it deemed necessary.
I want them to do a very comprehensive investigation, whatever that means according to the senators and the Republicans and the Republican majority. I want them to do that.
Procedural votes on Kavanaugh's nomination may begin in the Senate on Friday. Desperation is exploding into anger in the town closest to the epicenter of the massive earthquake and tsunami that hit Indonesia 4 days ago, with residents begging the country's president to help them as hungry survivors crawl into stores and grab boxes of food. The death toll from Friday's quake and tsunami has now passed 1,200. The marquees on the glimmering Las Vegas Strip dimmed their lights for 3 minutes last night as officials read the 58 names of the people killed 1 year ago in the country's deadliest mass shooting in modern history. The names are recited shortly after 10 p.m., nearly the exact time that a gunman at a Tower Suite opened fire on the crowd. Clark County Sheriff Joseph Lombardo.
There are two choices, to give up or lift others up. We chose the latter.
Throughout the year, Las Vegas has been honoring those who died with concerts and fundraisers and a display that features items left by mourners. If you rely on Google Maps to get around, you're going to like its latest update. Google Maps now has a dedicated commute tab, which has features designed to help commuters plan their route to work and see the latest traffic reports and travel delays. There's also support for commutes that involve more than one mode of transport, and you can also stream music without leaving Google Maps, the commute tab being rolled out this week.
I use Google Maps, and it saps me of my common sense sometimes. Like, sometimes
I
just have to say, read the road sign. Just read the sign. Sometimes I'm looking, is this the right turn? Is it the turn after this? I'm like, it just makes me stupid. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. A Domino's pizza delivery driver helped put an end to the assault of a woman who was being held in her Wisconsin home. Police say the delivery man, Joseph Grundle, told NBC News he was handing the pizza over to a middle-aged couple in Sheboygan County when he noticed the woman behind the man paying was in distress.
Some guy showed up to the door, paid for his pizza. He was honestly kind of friendly. And then I noticed behind him was a woman, and she at one point pointed to her black eye that I could see on her right eye, mouthed the words, "Help me," to me.
So she mouths the words, "Help me." He gets back to the restaurant about 8 minutes away, immediately calls 911. Authorities say the ex-boyfriend entered the woman's home uninvited, began physically assaulting her. He was arrested and charged with multiple offenses. Mr. Grundle, the 24-year-old delivery guy, says the woman's son has stopped by the pizza store a few times to express his gratitude. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.